And the problem is we don't have enough vaccine to go around.
Meaning we don't have enough vaccine for the United States?
Well, I would like to think that, but we don't have sufficient stockpiles for the people in Oklahoma, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, much less for the entire United States population.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound encouraging. What do you mean exactly?
Angie, it means it could be a very dark winter for America.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, September 19th, 2020. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on the Backup Channel, as well as all the other channels out there we're broadcasting to, DLive and Twitch and Periscope and Facebook and everything else. And on that note, right as I begin, I just got some new equipment that I believe is going to be allow me to be able to simultaneously broadcast in addition to what Restream allows us to simulcast, things like Rockfin, 3Speak, Float, all at the same time. So that will be coming as well. Just one more reason YouTube is increasingly obsolete. This is probably going to be a reasonably quick show, and I really mean that. In the past, I've said it, you know, might end up being, you know, not as what some might think is short, but compared to T-Lab, this will be a quick show. I'm just going to be going over a few points I wanted to rattle off. I wanted to make sure I touched base with you guys today, so you know that I'm still here, so you know that everything is well, and just a lot going on behind the scenes, as well as the overt censorship that's taking place. Now, today, we're going to go over just a few things. One of which is the continual funding and I would argue clear conflicts of interest in regard to groups like the National Institute of Health, the Health and Human Services, these different entities within the U.S. government working with Trump's administration today, and show you some really alarming things in regard to COVID-19. And I'm actually going to start with a study that was just basically scrubbed, which I just really want your input on. I want you guys to look into and let me know what you think, because there's something about it that I found to be very, very interesting, which there may be a reason or a justification for, but I want to bring it to you so you can decide for yourself. And then, of course, we're going to talk about something that Whitney and I were talking about today, and this is this obvious, I mean, on its face, obvious push of propaganda about the coming dark winter. And just a few things that she's been sharing with me today and things that we were talking about that I wanted to let you know, that just so you can see it, just so you can see how clear this all is. Now, before we jump in, just please take a minute for everyone out there and share this link, right? All the 23 on Periscope, the 29 on DLive, the 16 on Facebook, and the 85 on YouTube. Take a moment. If you believe in this channel and you believe in what we're doing, show YouTube that they're irrelevant and share this link so people can join. Share the link on the alternative platforms. That's important. Now, let's jump in here. And I wanted to, interestingly enough, I just forgot that I had something. I want to read this off the beginning just because it's something that I wrote down and I just happened to look over and see it. And it's a quote that more or less relates to things that I guess you could argue maybe not be on the nose about COVID-19, but something, this is, I believe it was Bill Merrillson was the person's name, was a virologist. It's a quote. He says, though the problems of the world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. And I just, that just really struck me. Just, we all know that. Of course, there's discussions and there's arguments and, oh, well, you know, we can't just switch away from fossil fuels because jobs and because there's discussions there. But we all agree that the solutions are embarrassingly easy to see. We all know what we're doing wrong. We just have equivocations and rationalizations for them. And it applies to COVID-19 in the same way. Right in this moment, we all know what we should be doing. We all know what is counter to things we believe in. We just decide to go with some kind of a justification or equivocation from authority figures that make us feel better about it. But it remains embarrassingly easy to see. I found that to be very interesting. Now, let's start off today with a quick recap, very quick, of what's been going on with some of the quick updates on censorship, but I just think this is very interesting. Now, first, just to start off, I wanted to show you that when I went to go live today again, this is a page that hasn't been refreshed yet. This right here is again what YouTube, or maybe it's Restream for all I know, created a secondary stream with no, they just inserted a name, The Last American Vagabond Backup, that I didn't write. And if I hadn't noticed, that is where this stream would have gone instead of the one that I created. I'd love for someone to explain that to me. Maybe there is. Who knows? But I had to delete it, otherwise it would have gone there instead of the one that I directed it at. Seems pretty deliberate to me. And what's funny is it says created, scheduled. Anyway, the point is that, you know, I go in and actually do something about it, and now we have the one. And what's weird is, see, now this is still popped up here. I find that to be very alarming. I deleted that right before we went live. I deleted it. I'm going to deal with this later. It's just incredible what keeps happening and how this stuff continues to manipulate. It's crazy. But I wanted to share this with you before I got started. You guys will find this especially relevant. Now, here's what you guys saw before. Impersonation charges. This has been around the internet. People have been talking about it in other channels. I've got hit with an impersonation strike. What is this? This is ridiculous. Well, some of them I've been finding out online have had them reversed. Except we haven't. I find that to be relevant. Especially since just this morning, they just changed the reason. So it was impersonation, which is a joke and outlandishly absurd. And then just suddenly changed it to spam and deceptive practices, which are two very different policies. And point to fact, if you actually look into that policy, it's also ridiculously obvious that this channel does nowhere even comes close to breaching these policies. We don't sell anything. I source everything. And I don't spam any channels with comments or anything. The only place I can post these are on my own social media platforms. Same strikes, same days. Now ask yourself this, seeing as how it says appeal rejected, well, wait a minute, that's when I was appealing to impersonation. So you're telling me that YouTube can step in and just change the reason even after you've appealed and rejected it? It doesn't get any more obvious than this. On its face, how absurd it is that, and how dishonest these people are. There's no way you can pretend like this is okay. It could have been a mistake or an error. They went in and just quietly changed it to something else. As they've been responding to me in regard to impersonation. I just can't believe it. I mean, I can believe it, but it just really is absurd. And I said, wow, if you thought YouTube couldn't get any more dishonest, well, here you go. Since all the attention these absurd impersonation strikes have gotten, Team YouTube literally went in, simply and dishonestly, changed the excuse they were using to keep my channel suspended. And if you actually look at the policy page, which we will hear, none of these things apply to my channel. Seems to be freezing up. And it's actually, well, actually, it looks like it's Twitter and this page. Let's just hope that doesn't somehow stop this whole thing. But while it's freezing on me, the bottom line is, as I already kind of said, the things that they are showing here are all related to things like it might sound like spam, which I'm not doing. Deceptive practices like trying to hawk or sell things while you're not saying that. I mean, it's very clear when you look at all of this that that's the absolute last thing that I'm doing. I swear. If this freezes up and ruins the whole show, it's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect. But we're going to talk about quite a few things today, assuming that this, you know, lets us continue. I mean, realistically, if it froze, I could just start up an entirely new browser and lose all of the saved information. But this is what it's like trying to get truth out when you're going against an insurmountable force of absolute all-encompassing censorship and suppression. Unreal to me. Absolutely unreal. But why don't we just do this? This is just so frustrating to me. Well, I could just, you know, open a Chrome browser and change the image here. Oh, no, wait. I apologize for the delay, everybody. Hey, it finally worked. Okay, back to it. That was their page, by the way. I just find that to be classic. Let me close this. Okay, now, moving forward, I'm not even going to go into it anymore just because that just totally, it's just, Perfect, isn't it? But here's the other part that I wanted to share. Assuming we're still live and everybody can see us. It appears that way. Okay, here's the next part. As it says, basically, I've been telling you guys about my podcast and about how, sorry, there's just all these things popping up in the background right now while everything froze and then refroze and unfroze. But the point is that my podcast was completely taken down, frozen. As those of you that like it, follow it, know, it just suddenly disappeared. That was because GoDaddy was blocking it. Now, that's what I've been telling you guys. That's what I've been trying to let you all know, that it has been stopped without me. And of course, you know, and rightly so, people wonder, hey, are you just making a mistake? Is there something you're doing wrong? Here's some advice. And it was nice of everybody to try to help. But the bottom line was, I said, it's GoDaddy. They're blocking the podcast. And once we get our dedicated server, it'll come back up. Here we are. Now, the dedicated server is up and running, and we are completely disconnected from GoDaddy, as well as this incredibly fraudulent group that tried to steal my domain, that tried to make sure that TLAV wouldn't be here anymore. And I'm going to tell you who they are. I'll tell you that right now, but I'm just not going to do it today just to make sure that we're completely disconnected. But I'm just hoping that you guys, everyone should know that you shouldn't ever work with this group because they'll try to steal your information. But the point is that the dedicated server came back up, or went up officially, we're good, and then instantly, and I mean instantaneously, the moment that the feed was on the other server, all of a sudden, what do you know, the podcast started working again. Now, sure, as always, it could just be a glitch, or it could be that GoDaddy was literally blocking my podcast. Oh, and what do you know, the exact moment we got moved over, the podcast suddenly was perfectly fine. Gee, I wonder what was happening, GoDaddy. I'd love to hear their experience. It doesn't matter. The largest hosting company on the planet is not going to care. But realize how incredibly all-encompassing this stuff is. The censorship. Now, I know people right now rolling their eyes, stop talking about censorship. It's important, guys. This is not just about, look, I'm being attacked. We need to realize how very real this is. Now, I know a lot of you already know this. But for those out there that are rolling their eyes, my point is for you to realize this is not something that you should be balking at. This is one of the most important topics happening today, whether it's myself or anybody else being censored, even people we don't agree with. Now, here's something I found interesting. This is from right in the middle of the pandemic, and I might have even mentioned this in the past. ESPR requires training that refers to protesters and journalists as adversaries. So in their own training for their personnel, they're actually referring to us as adversaries. That has to be so chilling. But yeah, I mean, look, this was months ago. No one cared about it, and we're still marching forward. That's what you need to take away from that. That we are the adversaries. But, you know, most of you already know that. Now, to start off here, I wanted to get into this study that I'm very skeptical about, and I'm expressing skepticism only because of the way that this was, the what just happened with this site. Now, I am not familiar necessarily with this site, so I tried to look into it. Well, first of all, the point is this is gone now. Not just this one study, but the whole site. Okay, so when I looked, it appears to be a legitimate site that has all kinds of backlinks and all kinds of, you know, all this stuff that's been there from a long time ago. Now, this is the main ASM.org with the same symbol, but okay, this site is listed as, that's right here, JCM.ASM. Now, I'm getting to it. I know you guys haven't seen the point yet, but I want to make sure this is clear. So you can see it right here. This is this JCM.ASM.org. A lot. I mean, within the time this has been up, which is only a couple of days, I find it near impossible to have this kind of backlinks and, you know, whatever. So certainly it's possible, but this to me shows you that this is, I think, a real website and legitimate and so on. You guys can comment on this and whether or not you think so. Now, this is the actual study. Now, again, I want to reiterate, it's gone now. The whole website, not just the study. And the reason this is interesting to me is because this study, it lists SARS-CoV-2. Okay, and this is an older study, right? This is the interesting part about this. This is dated, I believe, I had it listed in front of me. Let's see. Shoot, I had it. In any case, okay, here's the interesting point. This is before we got here, and it says SARS-CoV-2 without a dash. But here's the interesting thing, is it lists off SARS-CoV-1, SARS-CoV-2, and SARS-CoV-3. Okay, so that doesn't even exist, right? So what does that mean? Is there another term that this is used for? Certainly that's possible. It's certainly possible that this, but I find that to be far too exact. I mean, short of a dash between the V and the 2, it's exactly what we're seeing everywhere. Now, this is why I brought this up. Because if you look at this, and this is what this is supposed to show you, it shows that there's never been a comment, even without the dash, up until January 2020. Which is, I mean, how can that even be possible if we're staring at a study that actually, that's what Google Trends is supposed to do. I mean, it's on the internet, right? Registers as being used, the term, the word, but it's not. Maybe it's because it was just deleted. That's hard to say. But if you go through here, you'll see that SARS-CoV-2 is listed a lot, but as a reference. Now, let's go through the top part. It just, so the first of the title, RNA-resistant virus-like particles. Here, actually, let's just do this real quick. Help you so get that date back. Yeah, see, now it's not even popping up. This has just been scrubbed. Now, let's be clear. This is interesting because it could be something, maybe it could be gone because it's fake. I mean, we shouldn't just automatically assume that because they censor it, that means that it's real. That's a fallacy that they abuse. Here we go. I was just staring at it a second ago, and I'm not sure how I forgot where. Of course, now it's not going to. Oh, that's right, because it's on the way back machine. Anyway, the point really was just to float this to you guys. To do some research, to find this out, because look, we just went over one in the past in regard to the COVID-19 test kits that I think ultimately ended up being either an intentional manipulation or just something that happened that people jumped to conclusions about, right? That's my belief on how that went down. They changed these things that were previously listed and the computer updated them, even if they were dated back before it happened. Very basic information in regard to running a website. So maybe this is something like that. But at the end of the day, we're looking at another example of SARS-CoV-2, even SARS-CoV-3 listed off in their discussion here. Now it says a 3V armored lRNA of these 2,248 bases containing 6 gene fragments, hepatitis C virus, severe acute respiratory coronavirus, right? So they list it right there and then list off all three of them. I don't really understand that, but I'm going to leave it for you guys to continue to look into. At the end of the day, could we be staring at another example of something, you know, whether this has been around from beforehand? It's certainly possible. I don't think we should be balking at something like that because to me, now, especially that this is just gone, the whole site, I don't know. I'll leave it for you guys to continue to look into. Please reach out if you have any more information. But the bottom line, guys, is we shouldn't be afraid to look in as long as you're doing this the right way. If you're being objective and you're asking questions and you're not just blindly jumping in to assuming it's what you want it to be, there's nothing wrong about asking these questions. That's what they want you to stop doing. Now, moving on to some other things, we'll rattle this off as we go through. I got, it's funny enough, and we'll get to this in a minute, Whitney Webb is sending me some messages right now that seem relevant as hell, so we'll get to them in a second once we get down to the dark winter part. So it's pretend as if we have a via phone correspondent right now. So here we are with the reality of right now. Breaking, Ottawa is now in the second wave. Okay, so now we have mainstream Canadian mainstream press telling you that we're in the second wave of COVID-19. But wait a minute, we have basically minimal deaths happening right now. How can that possibly be? Well, that is a question you should be asking yourself. So there's an increase of deaths, as we can see, but at the same point, the same reality, we have the testing issue, which we are certain coming from all the official sources that it's inaccurate. Upwards of 90% could be false positives. We also know that the deaths in general are being misattributed in the UK and US and Canada predominantly, I would argue. But nonetheless, the bottom line is it's still based on the information that we currently have today in line with a severe flu. And yet this is still happening. And they're telling us we're in a second wave and all this stuff, even in the midst of the information not really being there. kind of interesting. So how can that be? How can they be telling you right now that we're in the second wave if we haven't even been able to confirm that what we saw in the beginning was in fact what actually happened, or the fact that this hasn't even been isolated or verified or confirmed in a lot of different ways? But here we are with them forcefully telling you that it's here and it's happening. It's quite interesting. Oh, and guess what? They've already canceled the Thanksgiving Day parade because they're telling you that we're going to be on lockdown in Thanksgiving months from now. Think about how ridiculous that is. I mean, every step of the way, they're telling you this will not end. Here's Tom Fitton showing us. And remember, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch is not really the kind of person that shares things without documents. And that's the point. Cover up. Leftist mayor of Nashville suppressed how coronavirus numbers tied to bars and restaurants. Now, of course, there's a lean anywhere you look. There's leftist mayors and there's right mayors. All right, this is happening everywhere. I've already shown you examples of mayors that are Republicans that have done exactly the same kind of things. But yet, people on one side or the other only like to show you the ones they like to see. Now, I'm not even talking about Tom Fitton. I'm just saying the general concept of where we are today. That's what we see everywhere. Bottom line is, it's all of them. It's the Uniparty. It's happening to all of us. And whether or not you feel that way, realize that the other side of the argument is still allowing this to happen. But here we are. Again, another example of politicians suppressing the real reality of what's happening. Why would that happen if we're in a big pandemic and we're all in danger? Why would they need to lie? Think about it. Here's Chester County notifying of thousands of questionable COVID results, right? This continues to come out day after day, and yet they still breathlessly report, we had 100,000 more cases. Okay, but now it doesn't mean the same thing when we know that the numbers are inaccurate, and we know that. To what degree? Well, that's up for discussion. But you cannot continue to pretend like it means what you said it meant before when we're seeing this stuff, but yet they are. This is the kind of thing we're telling you is coming. And again, based on the numbers we know are inaccurate that they're pretending are completely sound. Daniel Andrews plans to give police the power to arrest people who haven't even committed an offense. Oh, excuse me, Daniel Andrews' plan. I read that just off randomly. But the point is, that's going to Parliament today. This was on the 17th. The new laws would even give public servants the power of arbitrary detention against citizens they think might breach the lockdown. They think. Can we put this away, that this is some kind of conspiracy theory? That'll never go away because they'll always call it that right up until the moment they're arresting you for it. They're talking about arresting you because they've decided, based on whatever markers they're using, such as your social media posts, your actions, your metrics, your biometrics, the where you're going, how you shop, what you think, how you search online, all of that. And they're going to go, you look like someone that's going to violate this. We're going to come arrest you. Do you think that that's not going to happen here? Do you not think that they're involved with that decision? Australia doesn't go to the bathroom without asking the United States permission. That's what this is. This is a test. And as Whitney said, pre-crime is coming to Australia. If you think it can't happen in the United States, maybe remind yourself of what Bill Barr has been up to for the last year or so. Worth noting on this, and I'll make sure I include this link as well. This was talked about before we got here. I would argue when COVID was still happening in the United States, we didn't know about it yet, but it happened before we knew about this. With little fanfare, William Barr formally announces Orwellian pre-crime program, right? And then, of course, people backed at it. They pulled back. Now they're using COVID to push it in the same degree. If we cannot see the planning, I mean, you might want to argue, okay, here's the problem. The people that see this and think that they're doing this for good reasons, that they're doing it for you because they care about you and it's all protecting you, well, then they're just going to argue that, well, they're just using that plan again because it fit here. And people who choose to believe in these liars will choose to believe whatever they say because it works for them. It makes them think that they're on the good guy side, right? They pat you on the head and they say, good citizen, good job. And then go out and kill people and lie and cheat and steal. As long as they pat you on the head, well, you feel all warm and fuzzy. And that's the problem, is that these are bad people. These are the sociopaths of the world calling us sociopaths for not doing what they're telling us. Here's a great video from James Corbett, going over the same thing that I've been talking about since, I think, weeks into this. Okay, in January 2020, they released the study we talked about, showing us that this was the Pentagon. This is their research showing you, as we've shown you many times before, that the influenza vaccine increased the risk of other coronaviruses. Now, at the time, this is the big argument, that it wasn't about COVID-19. It was all the other ones, right? Let's pretend like that's the only coronavirus that wouldn't apply. But see, that's the way they pretend. It doesn't make sense. That's before this. So that's not, they just said the category. They didn't say only the flu. They didn't say only MERS or SARS. They said coronaviruses. And since this one is very, very similar, at the very least, we should consider whether or not it might apply. But no. They don't care that they're telling you that this vaccine that they pressured everyone to get before this might make this very thing worse. They don't care about that. They just care about telling you you're a conspiracy theorist. But this is a fantastic video because James not only again shows you why this is accurate, but goes over numerous examples that I didn't even get into in the shows that I've covered. Examples of showing you past examples of this exact kind of thing. That just simply the idea of the vaccine in general can increase any kind of other infection. Think about that. So anything else, right? This goes far back. So the bottom line is, if these vaccines, or the influenza vaccines we're talking about, have the possibility of increasing any other kind of problem, if it's possible that any other problem could be increased by taking this, how can we not consider that discussion? Obviously, because there's a reason. Now ask yourself this then, if they knew that this was possible, and it is, the science is very clear, as James always does an excellent job of just really making it obvious, that means that they knew that at least it was possible, and I would argue highly likely, that this flu vaccine increased the risk of the very thing we're currently dealing with, if you believe that it's there at all. Okay, that means that they knew about it and chose to do something that would increase the risk of the problem. I mean, think about that. That's really something that is unnerving. And then, you know, pushed other actions that continue to exacerbate the problem, almost as if that's what they wanted to happen. Something we should be willing to ask ourselves. Now, moving forward again, we have this discussion of the vaccine, which, again, we have a second example here. AstraZeneca vaccine volunteer developed spinal inflammation and rare neurological condition after 2 doses, according to the report. Right, this is the vaccine that they paused and then pushed to start again, and it's just, this is very dangerous and causing all kinds of very serious problems, and it doesn't seem like anybody's concerned about it at all because they keep hyping up the danger to such a high level that they're going, well, you know, that's bad, but COVID-19 though, right? But that's the illusion. And the numbers are there for you to look at if you just care to actually look at the things that people continue to scream about. Just look at the science, as they blindly trust the officials who aren't looking at the science. Crazy. It continues, right? Here's another interesting point I wanted to make. Here's Donald Trump. Also, this is a thing, I played this in the past, and this was a doctor who either accidentally, or who knows why, used the term herd mentality when she was discussing herd immunity. Now, I don't find those to be a very easy thing to confuse, even, you know, in regard to verbiage, like the words being similar. No, this is an interesting slip. I argue it's a, you know, what they would call a Freudian slip. Listen for yourself.
We are going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And it is going away. And it's probably going to go away now a lot faster because of the vaccine. It would go away without the vaccine, George. But it's going to go away a lot faster.
It would go away without the vaccine?
Sure. Over a period of time. Sure. With time. It goes
and many
away.
Deaths.
And you'll develop herd, like a herd mentality. It's going to be herd developed. And that's.
So, I mean, just based on the comments, as usual, you can kind of tell that he doesn't really understand what he's talking about. But at the end of the day, what he's saying is herd mentality, and didn't correct it. He said, you know, like a herd mentality, not, you don't say like a herd immunity, do you? I mean, I find that to be pretty interesting. I don't even know how you could accidentally mix those things up. Again, you don't say, like a herd immunity. No. You know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I've seen this more than once. And you're damn right. It's a herd mentality. That's exactly what we're dealing with. And that's exactly why you get things like this. These kind of things that are, you know, clearly just meant to get us through the next couple of months until we get the vaccine. And then they're just going to throw them all away, right? Totally makes sense. Would this company put the time, the money, the manpower, anything else you want to list off? And look, even if you think this is just some slap together nonsense, tchotchke kind of nonsense thing that's just going to sit on the shelf, doesn't matter. You have to understand how much goes into these things, producing, shipping. You know, I could go on forever. The point is, do you think that any number of these, and especially the ones that are far more technologically advanced, we've already talked about, like the air mask filter, that's the one that was like a very futuristic one we showed you. I mean, all kinds of things. Would this company put the time, the money, the manpower into researching, theorizing, producing, and marketing this thing, which cost millions of dollars, marketing like that, if we were, quote, going back to normal when we get a vaccine? Obviously not. Now ask yourself the likelihood of them having this ready, you know, without foreknowledge. Sure, it's possible. But we have to continue to think about things like that. Do you really believe that these companies would invest this money and the time and the effort and the advertising to a thing that would no longer be needed in a few months? Does anyone believe that? I just think we have to really think about how much they're showing you that this is your new future. This is called AIR, of course. And I actually want to share, I just thought about a funny comment from Whitney down here that I responded to that I thought was pretty hilarious, if I can find it. Oh, wow. Here's another thing down here. Oh, look. Oh, my God. Louis Vuitton. See what I mean? Look at that. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. That's incredible. Shoot. Oh, well. Well, she responded something about, you know, the company calling it the very thing they deprive you of. I just thought that was hilarious. And I said, just perfect Orwellian recipe, right? What does it deprive you of? Air. Ah, oh, we'll call it air. Perfect. It's crazy. I mean, this is just, I mean, to think about what that would be like. And look at them. Oh, they're just so cool. We're just casually sitting here with our face tubes on. Like, that's totally comfortable. I mean, it's just absurd. And here's this again. Do you think that Louis Vuitton would spend the money and the leather? I mean, for those that understand what it takes to make the Louis Vuitton leather bags, do you really believe they would spend the time and the money and the marketing and the effort on something like this if it wasn't going to be around for longer than a few months? Even a year. I mean, just don't be that naive. Here's another one. Oh, look, a breathe tube. Isn't that great? Here we go. This is some great music behind it. Oh, they're so happy in their fancy breathe tubes. Now, let me ask you this. How in the world, that's just funny. How in the world does that even do anything? It's open on top, right? I mean, if we're actually pretending this is what they're saying it is, you might as well, this is the equivalent of holding your hand in front of your mouth. No, I mean, it's obviously different because, I mean, the point is if this is aerosolized, airborne, whatever the kind of terms we're using today, that does absolutely nothing but keep you isolated, keep you from human interaction. I just love how they're just making it seem like it's just totally cool and normal. This is the most horrifying thing. You know, it's more so than what it is, the fact of how they're trying to normalize this to make it seem like it's the cool thing to do. Not like it's what we have to do in the middle of a destructive pandemic that they've used to create, or used to take control and destroy everything we love. No, no, no. It's a cool, fun time where we're inventing new things and life continues, right? That's the kind of absurd vision they're trying to give you. How about this? Newborn babies. Do you realize how, I mean, we have to understand how sickening it is when you're in a situation where babies are interacting with the world for the first time, their very first interaction with the world around them, the way that they see things. This is literally training their minds. And you may think that's crazy, but you have to understand what is happening in the mind of a newborn baby. Every single thing that's happening is a learning experience. So think about what that's going to do to the way that they perceive, feel, act. This does make a difference. And this is chilling to me. When we're having children, which we've already talked about, have a 0% chance. The CDC's own website listed it as zero because it's 0.00001 or whatever it is. Obviously not statistically significant. And not only that, I mean, this just really bothers me at a core level. Like, it made me sick. And this is what's happening. Yeah, it just makes me sick. And the fact is, I was going out with my family the other day, and a school bus drove by. I mean, and it's warm where I am, and you can like see the hot. You could see that these kids were hot, and they're wearing these masks. Every single one of them in this bus, and in this, it bothered me, because they have to think about how are we allowing. It doesn't even matter what you think about all of this stuff. You have to take a stand back and realize they're telling us right now, the information is coming out, that this is likely less severe than the flu once we really flesh out the numbers. The numbers are completely inaccurate. The tests are completely inaccurate. The death rate and everything else has been manipulated, tweaked, profit motives. I mean, every single thing you can talk about. And here we are where we know this stuff, know it. And we're still allowing these maniac, power-hungry politicians to force things on our children's mouths, to change the way that they view and perceive the world, to deprive them of human interaction. It's sickening to me. And that we're allowing it because we're being cowed along by powerful people and those too cowardly to stand against them. It makes me sick. It truly makes me sick, and it truly, it's the justification for why I do what I do, one of the many. It's horrifying to me. And of course, it's all being driven forward by the kind of people that are allowed, that have built the biosecurity state, because that is what they use to scare you into acquiescence, just allowing it to happen, even if you kind of don't agree with it, without any pushback. And this is what Whitney shared with me earlier. I said, it begins. Biosecurity state breaking. Guess what? A package addressed to the White House containing ricin intercepted by our law enforcement. The package was addressed to President Trump. Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that going to perfectly? I mean, does this not sound like, I don't know, the anthrax false flag? Exactly what Whitney and I have been talking about? That this is exactly what they're setting up to happen again? Yeah, it does. It sounds exactly like that. Remember, they lied to us about the anthrax. They lied to us about the packages, about what happened and who it was sent to. And they tried to blame Iraq. And it came from Fort Detrick. That's a fact. Of course, they tried to blame it on a guy from Fort Detrick, who sadly was, in my opinion, completely innocent. And it's another Gary Webb kind of scenario. But here we are. It's literally happening again right in front of us. And they're going to use this to push in everything we're telling you. Even as the coronavirus narrative falls apart, let's just jump to the next one. It's exactly like the false flag narrative, the terrorism narrative, the whole things they've been using. Right? We can prove that was a false flag, or they did, you know, Duma was fake, and they just jump to the next one. What do you know? Here's Whitney's comments on it. How convenient that HHS fact-tracked the ricin vaccine just a few months ago. What do you know about that? Isn't that interesting that, oh, look at that. Ricin was sent to, now what I also find interesting is ricin was the substance that was discussed, I believe, in a popular TV show. I think it was, I don't want to misquote it, but anyway, this, they might've been Breaking Bad. I'm not sure. But the point is, this was discussed on a popular show, you know, now we suddenly start seeing it more, and not like immediately, but in my experience, that's what tends to happen. Now, nonetheless, the fact that Health and Human Services has fast-tracked the ricin vaccine just a few months ago. Now, does that also ring true with anthrax? Yes, it does. Exactly the same way it happened. And the sent packages of the anthrax that they, it was a part of the entire false flag narrative, that is what drove them to end up pushing even further to use the vaccine. What do you know? She also follows up and says that Thomas Inglesby of Dark Winter and Event 201 are talking about ricin in last June with Rick Bright. Remember Rick Bright? The one who also warned about the darkest winter in modern history. What do you know? I mean, this is just unbelievably ridiculous how obvious this can get. In July, she says the only manufacturer of ricin, of the ricin vaccine, said, quote, the remainder of 2020, guess what, will likely be a potentially transformative event for the company. What? Let me say that again. Remember, Trump was just allegedly sent some package of ricin. Months after they fast-track a vaccine for ricin. And in July, the only manufacturer of the ricin vaccine said, quote, the remainder of this year, which is where we are now, excuse me, as I hit my microphone, which is the year that we're in now, will likely be a potentially transformative event for the company. Unbelievable. I take that back. It's completely believable. It's just, I just can't believe how clear it is. And here's the point that she was messaging me. Get this. Sologenix, a subsidiary of an Israeli firm, is co-producing the ricin vaccine with, guess who? Emergent BioSolutions, the people behind the anthrax vaccine. So literally the group that made a vaccine that caused a lot of harm, lifelong problems for a lot of people. They didn't test it. They knew it was unsafe, and they forced it on people anyway. Mandatory vaccines for the military. A lawsuit was waged where it ended up revealing that this was done, that they said this was illegal. And guess what? They went back to using the vaccine a year later, I believe, or shortly afterward. And here we are with the same group, Emergent BioSolutions, were involved with Robert Cadillac that was involved with the anthrax vaccine, yet again involved with right now a company making, I mean, the fact that Emergent BioSolutions is even around. But remember, the Emergent BioSolutions company is the group that's tied in with this anthrax false flag, with the same concept of sending packages to people in Congress which they used to force the vaccine, which turned out to be a false flag, and it came from Fort Detrick. So here we are again with Trump getting a package with ricin after they fast track a ricin vaccine. And the company says, we're about to make history, or whatever they said, or this will be a, what did they say? I want to get it right. As they say, a transformative event for the company. And it's a subsidiary of an Israeli firm producing it with Emergent BioSolutions. She says, this is so insane. The people who have warned of a bioterror ricin attack, namely the people involved in Dark Winter, Cadillac, O'Toole, etc., have worked for Emergent as lobbyists. There's sometimes this is just can't be any more obvious. Moving forward, the same concept, actually, well, funny enough, since we're here first, yeah, we'll just go through it how I had it lined up. Let me make sure that it wasn't anything else that she's only sent to me. Just want to make sure I'm not missing anything else. Because this stuff's just, it's really ridiculous. Yeah, that's the one that she sent me, Sologenix. So we're obviously going to have to follow up. Maybe Whitney and I can have a show in the near future where we go over this stuff, in particular, this company. That's going to be something that I'm looking into. Let's just look at this right now, since this is what she sent me. Right there, guys. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like it's, I really, this in and of itself is enough to show you exactly what we've been saying. Crazy. Well, here's another example. I don't know, somebody's saying that's me. Okay. Well, you know what? Since we're live and this is kind of impromptu anyway, I don't know what you're asking. Whitney's texting me right now. She's saying, tell the guy in the chat that's me. It's annoying. I don't know. Is Whitney in the chat right now? If she is, I'll just make her a mod. I don't see her anywhere. I don't know, Whitney, if you're watching, just let me know. Anyway, AI-powered PhysIQ Inc.'s DoD contract to support COVID-19 research. Now, first, we have to be clear here that AI in every possible way is basically just kind of being merged with the COVID-19 direction, even to the point to where they're not really even using COVID. Now, they're just pushing in artificial intelligence now for things seemingly tied in with COVID, but not even using COVID to justify it anymore. Sorry, I'm just okay. So maybe Derp Shepherd is that you, Whitney? But if she just texted me saying that that's her, then that's her, because that's what she literally just said. So whoever's in the chat causing a problem, you just derailed this whole thing. No, I'm just kidding. Well, shut up. It's Whitney. All right, let's keep going. So AI powered. The DOD contract to support COVID-19 research. Now, again, this is the concept that we're trying to show you, this private partner overlap, where the AI, we're talking about Silicon Valley and these big companies, right? Okay, so they're now working with the Department of Defense, the Department of War, as it used to be called before they wanted to trick you into thinking they were defending you as opposed to murdering people abroad. I'm not kidding, but it was called the Department of War. Most people know that. But the blend. Supporting the research into COVID-19. Okay, so if we're talking about the kind of thing that we're seeing from the military side, this needs to be alarming. The crossover in and of itself, the idea of pre-crime that's happening in Australia, the contact tracing, right? These are the real realities, the realities of where we are right now. And this is the crossover, and it's more than just right there. Silicon Valley startup, Visby's portable COVID-19 test gets emergency use authorization by FDA. Silicon Valley. Right, so the testing, again, now these are all things that should be questionable. Like, while we're literally watching agendas roll out, do you not think the Silicon Valley has a profit motive here to continue to drive this whole AI-driven technocratic? I mean, it's clear that these things should be at least questioned. US DOJ wants biometric identification. Here's my point. I don't believe this even mentions COVID-19. Okay, so this is just being driven in from all angles. That doesn't even apply to COVID-19, but now because they've got momentum for it, they're going for it. Now we're talking about biometrics. This is exactly what we were just getting into, right? They were just talking about how they're now going to be increasing their biometrics grabs from people coming in across the border, right? We have Thorne talking about using irises from children, a mass collection. Like, there's all this very weird stuff happening simultaneously right now. Right? You could pretend that that's for your best interest, or you can be an intelligent person and question the legitimacy of it. Why is it happening in the middle of a pandemic? That just seems ridiculous when you really think about it, especially when it's one that they had to manufacture. Right? It seems clearly part of the agenda. Here's Health and Human Services they've tied billions of your money in COVID-19 aid to reporting data through teletracking. Now, again, remember, we're talking about COVID-19 aid. This is what bothers me about this whole thing, is that we have these aid, you know, these stim packages and CARES Act and stimulus, and all of it's coming from your pocket. But then they use that as a separate concept, and then, you know, everything else HHS uses anyway is also your money. It's the government. They use your tax dollars to do what they're doing. So the aid package is just another way to bleed you out into the same effort. And teletrack. We're talking about HHS, Health and Human Services, Robert Cadleck, Alex Azar, using directly funding tracking information on COVID-19. Alex Azar sent an email on April 21st to hospitals requiring them to make a one-time report of COVID-19 admissions and ICU beds to HHS before the agency would allocate $100 billion. Now, basically what's happening, as we talked about in the past, we saw this kind of back and forth between the seat where they've kind of circumvented the CDC. Now, there's plenty of people me included, who would argue the CDC is a very corrupt, defunct organization because of the government as well. It's not just not them, it's the governments that are doing it to them. But the idea was they kind of circumvented them in telling the people to send their information directly to the White House, except a lot of people didn't do it, or specifically the HHS. Now, the idea is that they're essentially holding this money over their head unless they give them the data. Unless they give the HHS, which is, we're talking about the same people, the Robert Cadleck kind of person tied to help the Emergent BioSolutions, tied to all of these nefarious things we talked about, the dark winter stuff. And here they are basically trying to use the money as a way to make sure that this information only goes to them. It just, everything about this seems off the rails, completely illegitimate. But directly funding this stuff, especially when we're talking about this. NIH provides funding for COVID-19 related big data projects. Okay, we're talking about people like Dr. Anthony Fauci. But that when you talk about the NIH, you cannot talk about that without referencing the Trump administration. Just like you couldn't talk about it before that without referencing the Obama administration. Right? You don't just get to pretend that they're two separate things because you don't want to relate what's happening with Trump's administration. The actions that are taken under his administration are all on his administration. Period. That's what it's like when you're a leader. right? You own it. Even if you didn't know what's happening, it's on you. But I think the point is he's very aware this stuff is happening because everyone's talking about it. Well, the, you know, hype Operation Warp Speed, the vaccine push, Monsif Salawi's on the team. And it's clear where they're going with all this. That's specifically the vaccine. But this, it says 7 projects will leverage big data, meaning your information that they're now just scooping up with impunity because danger, fear, COVID-19, to develop digital health tools and better understand COVID-19. This will relate to tracking. This will relate to everything. Funding this stuff. Talk about, I mean, everything about this is wrong, especially when you realize that these are the same entities that have led us here now. Now they're using the justification of something that is arguably not there, arguably not even close to what they said it was, and yet still pointing to the beginning fear that they created to justify sweeping up your data, creating a technocratic revolution around the world to suit their agenda. I'm not just talking about NIH when I say that. I'm talking about the grander concept here. But here's the NIH still driving in that fear to justify sweeping up data to, you know, research COVID-19. It's a little bit more nefarious than that. Now, most of this stuff we're going to get into more as we go forward. I didn't want this to be longer than an hour today, but here we are. They're all telling you. Winter is coming. I love how they're just kind of blending it in. A little Game of Thrones to it now. You know, whatever. Dark winter. Winter's coming. Be afraid is the point. Winter's dangerous because you're going to be dead because virus. That's what they want you to think. Unless, right? That's the point. Unless, here's your solution. Problem, reaction, solution. Winter is coming. Be afraid. Winter is coming. Oh, that's weird. You know, almost same thing, right? These are all different articles, different dates, different times. Dark winter. Most all these sent by Whitney Webb, by the way, since she's an excellent researcher. Dark winter months ahead in an article. You know, it's everywhere. This is Sunderland residents react to new lockdown rules as coronavirus cases in the city increase. Cases. Yep, exactly. Cases. Keep hanging on to that lie. Okay, dark winter is coming. They all want you to see that. That's the fear mongering. Or you could even not call it, just simply call it predictive programming. Social engineering. They want you to be in your mind ready for something bad. So when it happens, you're not really surprised by it. So when they make that happen, well, you're more ready to accept it. Suicide prevention plan, vital ahead of dark. So just dark winter, right? Not that it's predicting it, but they're just, now they're making plans ahead of what they're just saying is going to happen. Think about that. It's not, it may happen. It's going, well, here's, we need to make sure this happens for when that dark winter comes. You got it yet? You get it? It's coming. They're telling you that. Just like this is not going to end, this is going to happen. And this is the idea, guys, going back to the beginning point. This is that. This is what they're already setting up. They're setting up the lead-in to that dark winter that they've been planning, that they already exercised for. It's all over. All you got to do is just look. The bleak COVID winter. It's all coming your way, ladies and gentlemen. It's all coming your way. Unreal. Now, that's basically it for COVID and everything else I want to talk about. I want to just end with a couple more points on one thing. And this is about Assange to finish off here. But before I do that, I just really hope that this stuff, I hope that it simply triggers people to go out and research, right? Whether you disagree or not. I'm just hoping that the points will spark interest in someone's mind to go out and do anything but blindly listen to what officials are telling you. Think for yourself. It's amazing that we even have to say that to people. But I know most of you here because you already think for yourselves. Now, to finish off, this is another thing that I think is just another example of a distraction, a sidestep. So, same with pretending that, you know, Snowden and then just pardoning some person that's not alive anymore, right? This is just meant to keep us talking about something else, and it's meant to keep this floating in the air. I mean, Trump has gone from saying he loves WikiLeaks 1,000 times over to acting like he doesn't even know who he is when directly asked about it. And here now we're going to pretend like now he's going to offer a pardon? Like, this is a scam to me, guys, and I'll show you why. Trump offered Assange pardon in return for hacked email source. Okay, here's the point, just to read my tweet. This is insulting. And yet those who want to use this will play into the illusion, predominantly people that want to believe Trump is the savior. There was no hack. We should know this by now. And they know that. So there is nothing to divulge. It was Seth Rich. Also, You don't pardon a whistleblower, guys. You announce they broke no law because they didn't break a law. You pardon somebody who committed a crime, and you're pardoning them of the crime. Right? This is not even close to something like that. This man is a journalist. This man is a truth teller who is being charged for telling the truth. There's no law for that. But they're making things up so they can charge him with this. What should actually happen if Trump actually was going to do something like this is they should step up and say, the guy is not guilty of anything, release him now. And you know how easy that would be? But of course, there's all these excuses and equivocations about 4D chess and whatever else they're going to, blah, blah, blah. But here we go. And this is going to be used by them to say, see, it's going to happen. I even see people that support that somebody shared this information going, yay, hashtag, his name is Seth Rich. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you say you know it's Seth Rich, but then argue that it makes sense and you're happy that Trump is asking for him to reveal the hacking source? The hacking source leads into the Russian narrative, and this is Donald Trump talking about this. So is Trump saying that Russia hacked these emails? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The reality is that Julian Assange it basically admitted this on a live TV show. When asked about it, he talked about how one of his sources was gunned down in the streets and his watch and his wallet weren't even taken. And the guy goes, are you telling me that Seth Rich was your source? And he goes, I don't divulge my sources. All right. It was right then. It was the only case. That was Seth Rich. That was his source. The fact is he leaked the information because Seth Rich was a patriot, because he believed in this country. And he realized that it was a false sense of security with the DNC, that they were lying, cheating, and stealing, and he couldn't live with that. So he leaked the information. That's what good people do. You know why? Because they were breaking the law. Just think about that. So now, when Trump comes out and says, hey, let's pardon this man, because if he reveals the hack, that is meant to be a psyop. But what does he do? Does he come out and say, well, there wasn't a hack, it was Seth Rich? Now, what is it? Does that going to give them what they want? Maybe. Well, I guess we have to wait and see. Let me ask you this. What if he came out and said, oh, I'll tell you who the hacker was. It was a Republican. What if he came out tomorrow and said it was you, Donald Trump? Right? The point is that there's not just because he says this doesn't mean that it's just going to amount to a pardon. It's they're asking for something specific. And it's not how this works when somebody is not a criminal. I just hope we can see this for what it is. That's my opinion, right? But at the end of the day, Assange wouldn't be in jail if they weren't actually trying to make this happen. The guy, I mean, and think about how ridiculous it is, first of all, that the U.S. is pardoning him of anything. That they can even extradite him. He's not a U.S. citizen. This wasn't committed in the United States. He's not in the U.S. now. Let's not pretend like any of this is even remotely legal. We have UN human rights experts saying this is wildly. Nils Melsner has continued to say that this is so far outside the realm of legality. Not quoting him directly. It's what he's been talking about. Asking them to explain, and they're not even responding. So let's not pretend like he's going to do the right thing here, if they won't even acknowledge that they're violating all kinds of laws and rights as we speak now. Oh, and remember, by the way, this is exactly why. Because they have revealed that these people are war criminals. Right? This is something I haven't got to talk about, seeing as how I'm, suppressed and censored all over the place. But Zero Hedge put this out. U.S. officials fear arrest abroad over Saudi war crimes in Yemen. Right? It says, quote, U.S. officials are concerned their role in facilitating arms sales to Saudi Arabia, while ignoring harm to civilians, could lead to their arrests for war crimes. Obama and Trump admins have considered possibility of being arrested while overseas. Now, surely they're going to say, well, that's because they're corrupt over there. How dare they arrest us for this obvious crime? That makes them criminals, right? Or, of course, they wouldn't pretend they're committing a crime. Starving an entire nation, it's only for freedom, of course. There's no reason that killing all these innocent children is not okay in, liberating people. Of course not, right? They just don't talk about it. The point is, if they're actually considering that they might be accused of war crimes and how that needs to be played into how they move around the world, they're war criminals, guys. These are the bad guys. And the point is that that's what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks revealed to us. People like Chelsea Manning revealed to us. They revealed that these are the war criminals. We just, I guess, just can't wake up to it. We want to believe that it's only one side and not the other, even though they're all complicit. It's naive. And that naivety is what is killing this country. Drowning it as we speak. It is rocks tied to our ankles that are drowning us down right now. Imagine, I mean, really, it's more like rocks in your hands, right? You're holding them both and they're drowning you. And all you got to do is let them go. Let them go. It's your choice. As Caitlin Johnstone says, and think about how ridiculous it is that this even needs to be stated. Exposing war crimes should always be legal. Committing and hiding them should not. It's like we're teaching a kindergarten class to the world, to the country, to our politicians. No, 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 guys. Exposing war crimes, good stuff. Committing and hiding them, bad. Well, I guess they missed the message, seeing as how they're right now committing and hiding them at every single step. I'm sure we will be talking about Julian Assange a hell of a lot more as this goes forward. But as we end here today, guys, please, please, please take a moment. Take a moment. Subscribe to the backup channel, the backup YouTube channel. Subscribe to all the others, actually, instead of that one, more so than anything else. Subscribe to DLive. Subscribe to any of them. Brighteon. Three Speak. On and on and on. They're all listed down below in the show notes. Subscribe to the channels. So go to my website itself. Right? That's the important part. That's the real thing we need to be doing, is not allowing YouTube or any other platform for that matter to be the conduit between us and the you and the information. Come here. Subscribe. Hey, our podcast is back now. Subscribe to the podcast. That goes out no matter what. Now, since we're on a dedicated server, they can't hide that. They'll sure try, though. Download it. Subscribe. Because they're going to continue to try to attack us in every possible way that they can. They're going to do everything in their power to keep us off this, off, to keep you from hearing what we're saying. It's up to you. It always has been. Now, thank you all for being here. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to think for yourself. I was just checking the numbers there. Good. I mean, think about it. Almost 250 people tuned in on backup channel alone with only 2,000 subscribers. I mean, do you not see what they're trying to do? It's incredible. Now, the only reason that YouTube even matters anymore is because that's where all the people are that are lost. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you're on DLive that you're not lost, or you're not confused, but I would argue that most of the people that are on alternative platforms, they realize what's happening over there. That's why they've gone somewhere else. So most of the people that are still lost are the ones on those platforms. So everyone out there that already sees this and agrees, go somewhere else. Delete your YouTube channel. I mean, there are weights in your hands dragging you to the ground. So to the bottom of the ocean. So go to DLive, go to Brighteon, go to 3Speak, go to Rockfin, go to any of the other ones, go there. Allow me to deal with all the BS of YouTube to reach those people. And one day, hopefully very soon, when people see how irrelevant they are, well, then we'll just drop it like a bad habit because they will no longer be relevant. Especially when some new platforms that might be here soon are coming out. Times are changing, guys. We need to do something about it if we want it to change in the right way. That's the way we got to think about it. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right. But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and one in five American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph. How does this happen? Well, just follow the money. Right now, it's perfectly legal to buy political influence in America. Here's how it works. Let's say a big bank wants a law that would force taxpayers to bail them out again if they repeat the exact same reckless behavior that crashed the global economy in 2008. Not exactly the most popular idea with the public, and Congress knows that. That should be the end of it. But that's where the money comes in. It's perfectly legal for our bank to hire a team of lobbyists, whose entire job is to make sure that the government gives the bank what it wants. Then, those lobbyists can track down members of Congress who regulate banks and help raise a ton of money for their re-election campaigns. It's perfectly legal for those lobbyists to offer those same politicians million-dollar jobs at their lobbying firm. Then, those lobbyists can literally write the language of this new bailout law themselves and hand it off to the politician they just buttered up with campaign money and lucrative job offers. And it's perfectly legal for those politicians to take the lobbyist-written language and sneak it through Congress at the last second. So now you've got a law that greatly benefits the banks, and the whole process can start over. This is how a bill becomes a law. A special interest hires some lobbyists, those lobbyists collect campaign contributions, offer jobs, and then write the laws that Congress then passes to help those same special interests. This happens every day on every single issue with politicians of both parties. In the last 5 years alone, the 200 most politically active companies in the United States spent $5.8 billion influencing your government. Those same companies got $4.4 trillion in taxpayer support. And that's trillion, with a T. And that's just the top 200 companies. Never mind every other special interest, every union, every trade association, and every billionaire. Every single one of them can use their money to buy political influence. You know, there's this idea out there that this only became a problem after the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010. But the data goes back almost 40 years, and the results are clear. Corruption is legal in America.